From sprains to fractures, get expert care quickly at the University of Kansas Health System. Walk-in orthopedic care is open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 2, at I-435 and Null. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John live inside the Sports Radio 810 broadcast booth right across the street from T-Mobile Center, right in front of the entrance to Miller Lite Fan Fest, where I'll be all day long here with Dylan Michaels, who has slept through most of the show. And why wouldn't you? I can't blame him.
He's not the only one.
Right. Back in studio. The studio's got that dog in him. Now with Nate Buchanan, Jake Gutierrez, Gary Dieter, and the sausage Anthony Sherman. Gary Dieter, first of all, we'll get the bad news out of the way.
What, can you,
like,
can you
lost? Sounds like Garrett Cole is going to be gone for a while.
Yeah.
And it looks like the Yankees could use some innings. Have you heard of a young man by the name of Jordan Lyles? He is available.
Not interested.
You are interested.
As long as innings eater. Yeah, I've seen. I've seen in the past year. I've seen what he can do.
Right. He can rest that bullpen.
Yeah, no, I'm concerned. I'm concerned. Anytime your star pitcher has a elbow injury, you don't feel too comfortable. But I'm happy that they got Juan Soto and he's batting 700 in the spring. So. They're going to be scoring 10
those,
runs
those
a game.
Numbers matter. Those spring
Nate,
training
Nate
numbers.
Says spring training numbers are for simps.
I mean, Juan Soto is probably the best hitter in the MLB, so yeah, go ahead.
I mean.
Okay, question number two. Anthony Sherman.
Yes, sir.
Kansas is out.
Yes.
K-State is in.
Correct.
K-State is alive and well, taking on Iowa State. Will you be making an appearance at the Big 12 tournament?
No, I will not be. I went over there Tuesday for the first two games of the tournament.
All right. All right.
Who well, got
what about
tickets?
Gary Dieter? Will you be taking a victory lap down here at all?
No, I will not be. I'm a Creighton guy, buddy. I'm not going to watch Big 12 basketball. I know who's going to win.
Who's going to win?
Houston's going to blow everybody out again.
Well, really?
Dude, those dudes Iowa State might be.
No, Houston's a bunch of dogs.
So I'm new to this show.
Oh,
How are you related? Like, how are you a Creighton guy?
I started betting on them last year.
Okay.
And then just hopped on
Jake actually loyal. Accepts that answer.
Way, Jake was ready to fight you over that. No, he just earned his respect.
Jake actually respects that answer.
Loyal over 2 years.
Go Blue Jays.
Did you see
big-time
how he
Blue
set
Jays.
Up? He was ready to tear you apart, man.
Yeah.
And then you said, I'll bet on you. Okay. Okay. You know what? Okay.
I get that.
The loyalty is there.
That made perfect sense to him.
100%.
And they're fun to watch. They're very fun to watch.
All right.
Ask him how his betting went last night.
I can only imagine.
Count is at zero.
Did you go? You didn't bet Kansas, did you?
I did. I did.
Yeah, yeah. He's a homer.
Money line.
You fell for the trap.
Yeah, well, sucker.
I bet on Texas.
I bet Kansas State money line too.
Oh well, there you go.
I'm not surprised though. I mean, especially with just both of their top dogs out. Like, I don't think anyone really thought with those two. Not being in the tournament, they had any real chance probably this year.
Loser mentality.
Well,
I can tell you.
You don't think anyone did
that.
Those are two big time players,
giant,
and they're and that you could see last night that it affected.
I guess I put a little too much stock into Bill Self and fact. I thought Furphy would step up. I thought and KJ did step up. You know, I thought Harris would step up. I thought Furphy would step up. And with those three guys, I thought, they'd have a good
at least one game.
Yeah. One game, yeah. I wouldn't expect them to run.
Is NIL ruining Kansas?
No.
Recruiting?
Not having three scholarships this year is hurting them.
I do think it's going to be a transition time for Bill Self. He's had his most success when he's developed guys over time. Like when they won the national title, Ochai Agbaji was not a five-star recruit. He became a great player under Self. Christian Brown became a great player under Self. Dave McCormick became a great, but it took 3-4 years for those guys. And then they supplemented with transfers like Remy Martin. I think with this new thing, he said, I'm going to go out and own the transfer portal. And to a certain extent, he did, right? He goes out, gets Hunter Dickinson. They've got Kevin McCullough, and those guys are great players. I'm going to be interested to see, can he still develop? Can he get guys to stick around long enough to develop, you know, because like Uday gets, oh, he gets recruited over with Dickinson. He goes, I'm out. Peace. I'm going to TCU. Can he still develop guys over 4 years? Because when it's so easy for a kid to go, you know what, I'm not getting my playing time here. I can go get paid and go somewhere else and get PT. And I just think he's going to, my money's on Self to figure it out.
I think that you know, in-season tournament, I think, if they're that $1 million for the teams and stuff, I think is going to be huge for NIL. For those guys, for teams that to actually get in there and win it, and then they can make a big, you know, hopefully make a strong push the next.
They need to recruit Gilbert Arenas' son to come to Kansas. He had an interview yesterday, and he's talking about NIL, and he's like, "Don't talk to my kid about NIL. Talk about how you can develop him, get him to the NBA, because that's all I care about. I got him with the money."
Yeah,
and I'm like, I like this guy,
Hibachi Jr. Huh? Is it? That's what Gilbert Arenas called himself, Hibachi.
I don't know.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
You can play it, but it's probably got some cussing in there. A little Cam.
That's never stopped us before, has
Cam
it?
Cam Newton type.
You don't do that, Jake.
I think Self will figure it out. I think it. You know, it's, but it's a shifting landscape, and it's. I do think it's obviously it's a different time.
Yeah, and he made a big mistake recruiting Aterio Morris.
Yeah, that was.
I thought Gilbert Arenas was Agent Zero.
That's he what? Was, but he would call himself a, like he'd make a three and he'd just yell Hibachi and like make a Hibachi sign.
You want to know another funny name I saw yesterday? He's a college basketball player, Edgerrin James' son. Guess what his name is? Jizzle.
Yeah, we saw
Jizzle
that
James.
Night.
Jizzle James.
What's wrong with that?
Nah, I think that's cool.
Right.
Steven, so how you doing this, down there?
We have this text thread. I want to stick an eye pick or an ice pick in my ear, but that's fine. I'm just, you know.
Don't do that.
The excuse after excuse from Nate, it's too much.
Is the Miller Miller Lite Fan Fest open yet for you to get a couple adult beverages or what?
No, well, not one time has he given credit to Cincinnati. Not once.
I think Bill Self might be out of coaching. Yeah.
Wow.
Just like all the other old heads in coaching.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's like, I'm just not doing
done
this.
With
this.
Yeah.
Done text with it. Thread that we're all part of that, let's be honest, when Houston beat Kansas, Gary Dieter became very active on that text thread. Sherm stays very quiet. I weighed in on the Francis Ngannou Anthony Joshua knockout, and then Jake is pushing back. So, let's just give credit where credit's due. I mean, Gary Dieter, you went in on Kansas last week, and since then, back to back blowout losses.
Yeah, 20-point and a 30-point. I mean, it doesn't get much worse than that in college basketball. I'll tell you that right now.
I mean, what now? Give us some more predictions. What's going to happen with them in the NCAA tournament?
I mean, I've never felt better about a bet in my life. First round knockout for sure.
That's good.
They're going to be like a 5 seed now.
I doubt it.
So what's the bet? Let's get
50,
this on the
50
record.
Bucks.
50 bucks. They don't make it past the first round. That was the bet.
It's going to be
on the record.
So joyful.
Yeah. No.
It's going to be joyful.
But now you just have to be careful. I don't know if you ever knew Gehrig bet me too. So like. You think like you're going to get a $50 bill, right? You know, or you know, some.
That's usually how it works, right?
You would think.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, like he has no problem bringing you 4 quarters, and just knocking his debt down.
If that's
that
how
way.
He wants to do it. Then
I'm just letting you know. Like, be prepared.
I'll pay you every.
He'll pay you every penny.
I like the heads up.
But it's going to be like he might give you 25 cents one day. It might be 25 cents.
I'm a big believer in karma. You know, so if he wants to act like that, it's going to come back around to him.
How about karma on this guy? Because he bet on the Astros when they cheated.
I didn't bet on the Astros,
and they got proven they cheated, and still took the money,
buddy. You were so confident. He was so confident in the Yankees. He gave me the entire entire rest of the MLB.
And they would have won if the Astros weren't cheating.
He gave me the field. I didn't matter. I didn't care who was
there. This is 2017. The Yankees were insane. Like, they easily would have won the World Series, but then they run the Astros.
A couple of trash cans.
Don't get me started on that. Let's talk about Kansas sucking.
Well, we were talking about who was accused of making excuses earlier.
Oh, we would have won if they had cheated.
It was proven they cheated.
And now he's talking to you.
It was proven that they cheated. Yeah. KU just sucks.
Oh, okay.
There's no way around that. They're going to get put out first round.
We would have won if we'd have had McCullough and Dickinson.
No, you wouldn't. Got beat by 30 when those two played.
I actually think, no, they would have won that game.
They would have won that game.
Could have, should have, would have.
They'll have them both in the first round, and, you know, you'll pay me in pennies, and I'll take them.
Will they have them both?
I think so. I do.
Self said last night McCullough could have gone if it was an NCAA tournament game, but Hunter Dickinson, no way he could have played.
Yeah, he said maybe if it was a Saturday game he could have played, but he's going to have to pass some tests. It's a dislocated shoulder, man. Those are... Those can be lingering for the rest of your life, you know. So I'll be interested to see what happens with him on that.
And just because he plays doesn't mean he'll be effective,
right?
With that kind of injury,
right?
So I don't, you know,
it'll be interesting. But even if they had one of those guys last night, I think that game's different.
I mean, 20 points. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was down to 5 at one point. So I mean,
I think it's a 3.
Down
in the second half, early in the second.
How about it's where you finish, boys? It's where you finish.
Can we
see where Creighton finishes?
you want to bet that Creighton makes it farther in Kansas?
I don't know.
There's the bet.
Come on,
there's
I don't
bet
know
right
anything.
You, take him up on that one.
Come on, tough guy.
Take
come
him
on,
up
Nate.
On that one.
Where you at, Nate?
Jake. You're the one with the floppy Jake. Shoes over
come
there.
Come on.
Creighton called me.
Jake's the one that you can bait into this. If you call him enough names, he'll make a bet. I'm not easily swayed like that. You can call me whatever you want.
No, no, what you need to know is Gary Dieter said they'll go farther than Kansas in the NCAA tournament.
And that's very possible.
Guys are scared to bet.
You said those two guys would be back and healthy.
I already got a bet on the table. Why am I going to cut my... I mean, like...
Yeah, this one should be Nate's bet.
Are you going to let him call you names like that,
yeah,
Jake?
Yeah, I am. I don't care. What he thinks of me means about that much. Like, I'm not walking around worrying about what Gary Dieter thinks of me.
Somebody is on Twitter. That one dude. He's got to chill. Buddy's got to chill on with the subtweets.
Yeah.
Okay.
I handled that.
So, I have... Okay, wide receivers... Right now are the topic. I just saw a report from Mark Caboli, who covers the Steelers for The Athletic. And Jake, I think, will like this one. He says that the biggest hurdle in Tyler Boyd signing with the Steelers are the Kansas City Chiefs, with a dark horse being the Jets. We also have seen Drew Tranquil openly recruiting on X, on Twitter, Mike Williams, who was released by the Chargers yesterday, and also Hollywood Brown, who's been linked to the Chiefs. And then another guy that we all like is and his fit is Curtis Samuel. So let's just put those four out there. And we can consider what they might cost and consider fit, injury history, everything. Tyler Boyd, Curtis Samuel, Hollywood Brown, and Mike Williams. Gary Dieter and then Anthony Sherman. Who would be your preference of those four?
I would say the first two, Tyler Boyd and Curtis, would be my two picks. I think Tyler Boyd fills a role that Juju kind of filled the last year before last, and then I think Curtis kind of brings in a different dynamic. Obviously, we haven't seen much of him over the last couple of years, just quarterback situations, but I think he's a really good player, and Coach Reed would be able to do a lot of good things with him. But I would pick – I know Tyler Boyd is a great – I won't say great, but he's a really good receiver that can play a position that the Chiefs need, a kind of reliable guy that's not going to stretch the defense in any way, but at the same time, he's going to make the tough catches and be able to move the chains with Kelce. So those two would be my first two. And then I feel like Hollywood, you don't want to overpay a guy like that. I think you can get what like a guy like McColl can not do what Hollywood does, but for the amount of money, I think it would make sense to sign McColl back for that type of role. Because even, I mean, they're going to use Rashid Rice as the number one guy, and he's going to get the target. So you don't need to overpay for a receiver right now. And I would say get one more veteran this offseason, and then just draft a few guys and just kind of put him in how Rashid Rice was last year. Just kind of work him in the mix, and hopefully he continues to grow as the season goes on and makes an impact when he's most needed.
And no interest in Mike Williams?
No, I don't think he fits. I don't see where the where the big receiver fits in the Chiefs' offense. I mean, we've seen over the last few years they try to get these big guys, and it just never pans out. It's just not, to me, it's not an offense where you're throwing jump balls, you're relying on somebody to just go up and get the ball over top of somebody. Obviously, that would be nice at a decent price, but Mike Williams is still going to be a good contract, so you don't want to overpay a guy like that where not one-trick pony, but, I mean, all Mike Williams does is really go up over top guys and catch deep balls. And
guys are really good, though.
He's probably the best in the league at it. But
so did the Chiefs.
He's done a lot against the Chiefs. Sherm, any of those four that you like more than the others?
I like Curtis, and it's just because he's going to have kind of an understanding of the offense, which is kind of what we talked about last year, and having some of these new guys that were struggling early on that was just trying to understand the concepts and nuances of Coach Reed's offense.
Because he played for Bienemy.
Yeah, and if you have a guy like that that can come in and kind of has already the understanding on how, one, the Chiefs work, because you know they're going to still work the same way EB had him working in Washington. But then also just having that understanding of what concepts are called and what they're looking for in every concept will help him make an impact right away and not take, you know, first couple weeks to kind of feel out the offense.
To go back to your point about the big guys that go up and get balls, do the Chiefs not do that because it's not part of their offense, or is it not part of their offense because they don't have guys that can do that?
Hold on. Didn't you, for like 5 weeks on this show, talk about how you wanted them to go deep, throw it up deep, and now you have you could get a guy that does that?
I said I like them to start
Steven,
the game off.
Steven, did you not
off.
Say that?
No, this is what I said. I said I like to see them start the game off and throw the ball deep to open some things up, but I don't want a jump ball. Like, the only thing he can do is jump balls.
You want somebody that can run past guys, not somebody that can jump up over them.
Yeah, I want somebody else. I mean, the Chiefs have had that over the last few years. They just weren't throwing the ball deep. Like, there was that stretch in the season where they just literally weren't going deep, and that obviously is going to bring the defense up and make everything a little bit harder. But I don't think a guy like Mike Williams will fix that. I mean, I don't think he's not the fastest guy in the world. He's just going to literally go up and go over top of somebody and catch the ball. But as a defender, I mean, there's some guys that are not the same size. He's a huge dude, but, I mean, those are easier to defend when he's a one-trick pony.
Dick Vermeil said to me one time when he was here, you know, yeah, people like the big receiver, and they always say, oh, he's great at catching the ball in the crowd. Well, my opinion is that's because he's always in a crowd because he can't get open. I'd rather have the guy that's not as big that can get separation. Is that what Andy Reid is usually looking for more than a big guy like that? Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. I think, I mean, just look at the offense. Like, since Pat's been here, when has there been a receiver that just is a guy that just goes over top of guys? Like, it just doesn't work. There's guys that are that size, but they just don't play. And I think it's because they just, one, they're not creating separation, and two, it's just not really the fit in the offense. Like, Coach Reed likes the guys that are fast that will take the top off, and then he likes guys that will work underneath and get open, and I don't think he fits either of those, so.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you look at, like, Tyreek is still probably the best deep ball receiver in the game, and he's not big.
Right.
But he gets a lot of separation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's essentially is really, with this offense, is what you're looking for is separation, spacing on everything.
What did you guys think of the addition of tight end Irv Smith Jr.?
I'm kind of confused by it. I played with Irv at Bama, and I like him, but I don't get what his role will be, because I don't think he's going to play over Noah. Noah and him are pretty much the same size, same speed, same almost everything. So it's kind of confusing on my end. But
have that third tight end that can go out and make some plays, get him in a base package defensively, and have three receiving tight ends that can go make some plays and make people you know, get spread them out.
Yeah,
he's only 25 years old. You played with him, and people talk about his tremendous athleticism. Is there a chance that there's some untapped potential that Andy Reid could get out of him? But what kind of player was he when you were with him?
I mean, he was a freshman, so he didn't really play that much when I was at Bama. But I mean, he was on special teams and stuff. I mean, he's a good athlete, like you said, and. He got drafted pretty high for playing tight end and producing at the college level. And I think one thing that will help him a lot is having Kelsey in the room, having a vet that you can look at and being the leader that Kelsey is and the way he works and understands football and just the way he loves football. When a younger guy can see that and that's what it takes, that might tap into some more potential. So that's something maybe the Chiefs are relying on is, hey, let's get this guy in. Maybe he hasn't had – I don't really know what veterans he's had to look up to since he's been in the league, but obviously there's not going to be a better guy to look at than Kelsey when it comes to leadership and showing you kind of how to play the game.
So the down the stretch when the offense started getting better, I remember watching a clip that Dan Orlovsky did where he broke down that the Chiefs' offense got a lot better when they started using more multiple tight end sets because they could run better out of it, but they could also still be a threat to throw. I'm just spitballing here. Yep. But if Kelsey is getting to the stage in his career where, especially in the regular season, they need more load management so he can be fresh for the postseason, is that part of the thinking? You might want to run some two tight end sets and leave Kelsey. So and you're not wearing him out.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Is that part of the thought process there?
Yeah, I mean, very well could be. I mean, like I said, it's with having the athletic tight ends that the Chiefs do, you can put the defense in a bad situation. Because either they're going to go nickel because they have to cover the weapons, and now that's a great run, you know, run the ball, two tight ends, heavy set, run it down their throat in nickel. And then if they go base because they're worried about the run, now you have mismatches at the tight end position and who they're covering. So, yeah, Coach Reid does a great job of that. And, I mean, if you look at what New England did with those two tight ends that they did have, like, that's kind of what they did. They got in those big packages. They ran the ball down your throat, but then also they were both great receivers, so they could spread it out and have mismatches all day whenever they wanted to do, which is a huge advantage for the offense.
R.I.P. Aaron Hernandez.
Wow.
Okay.
Or not.
To try to get it back on track, are we for some load management for Kels this year, though? Keep him healthy
for the postseason? Yeah, you have
for
to.
For sure.
I think you saw, I mean, we all saw what he looked like in the regular season last year at points, and obviously he can turn it up in the playoffs when, yeah, he got a nice week of rest at the end of the season. And that, when you're that, I mean, he's not young. He's a 34-year-old tight end that's played 12 years in the NFL and has 100 catches every single season, so he's taken a beating and... Yeah, if you can get some guys in there that can kind of help him out with that spot, I mean, that's what you need.
Hopefully that ankle injury, you know, beginning of the year, I mean, a week, in first week, kind of set him back a little bit throughout the year, and because those ankle injuries just don't go away. Like, that thing's not going to start feeling better till now.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully nothing like that happens again. And he can have maybe it's a little bit different look. We're still talking about load management, but still maybe a little bit different when he is out there.
What about, since we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the big signing, what was your reaction not only to Chris Jones re-signing with the Chiefs, but the amount of money, the contract that the Chiefs gave him? Did that surpass what you thought the Chiefs were willing to do?
Yes. I mean, I think if you look at what it was going to be last year, I think they were talking like 27, 28, and he would sign, and then now it's 32, I think. Yeah, I think anytime you give any player that amount of money, it surprises you. But I think if you're, like we said last week, if you're going to pay one guy on the defensive side of the ball, that's the guy you pay, and you don't want to mess around with overpaying some other guys that, yeah, they're really, really, really good football players, but having the impact that Chris can have on an every down basis, it's kind of, you can't put a number behind it, because I mean, he can literally look at Super Bowl, look at some of these games that were late in the season. The guy's unblockable, and when he wants to turn it up, nobody can mess with him.
You know,
what about you, sir?
I I think it was definitely higher than what I thought. But if you look at like what's next year's cap hit, like for him,
for Chris Jones, like $7.5 million, I think.
Yeah, which is not a lot at all. Yeah. So like I've got a weird feeling that you know how you keep hearing Pat restructuring, making moving money around and stuff, and helping the team continue the success. I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see both of them, you know, next few years start doing stuff like that. They're still going to get their money. It's just a little bit different way of doing it, and it keeps that cap number down. It opens up that cap space to get some of these other guys that they're trying to get. So I could see once they got them locked in and they're like, hey, this we'll give you this money, it just might be a little bit different way. Like, let's work on it year in, year out. Like, we'll get you. Don't worry. It's just going to be something where we can, you know, make this team better every year. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
You know, and then we already knew about Drew Tranquil re-signing yesterday when he was on his Zoom press conference. Play that clip again, Jake, because I got a kick out of that. He was talking about going in to sign his contract, and he kind of let the cat out of the bag that Mike Pinnell was re-signing too, because that had not been that was not known. So play this clip from Tranquil, then I want to ask you about your former teammate.
I mean, it's huge securing Chris, a five-year deal. I think three of them are fully guaranteed, so he's going to be around here a while. And he's really a cornerstone of this defense. When you – a lot of his production, I was talking to our guys this morning as we headed over to sign Mike Pinnell and Deion Bush. I was like, man, I feel like a lot of Chris's production, like you see the sacks, you see the TFLs. You see what he does on tape, but a lot of it's hidden because teams have to account for him in ways that free up other guys, free up our edge rushers, free up our linebackers. And so when you have a presence like him in the middle of the defense that causes opponents to game plan for him in specific ways, it creates opportunities for the rest of the guys in the field. And I know we're all super excited to have him back.
And so, you know, if you got cornerstone superstar players like in Mahomes and Kelce and Chris Jones, well, you have to have guys that are part of the culture that are part of what makes this team so successful to supplement the superstars. And I just remember how well Mike Pinnell played down the stretch. In that first Super Bowl run, when you guys beat the 49ers the first time around after they signed him late. And I'll be damned if he didn't do the same thing again this year. And I still don't think he gets enough credit for how well he played in the postseason. And in that Super Bowl, I mean, he was fantastic. And I just liked the guy. And it seems like everyone else on the team really gets a kick out of him. And so what did you think of Mike Pinnell re-signing? And tell me, what it was like to be a teammate of Pinnell during that first Super Bowl run.
Yeah, no, listen, that's a huge signing. It's going to be one of those ones that goes under the radar, really. I mean, no one's like, hey, we need to sign Mike Pinnell back. But if you know the locker room, you know him, like, he is a key piece to getting those guys motivated, fired up, playing hard. I mean, that's all he does is go 100 miles an hour at all times. And he is just an awesome dude. I thoroughly enjoyed my time with him when he was here. We had a lot of great conversations. Great locker room guy. Great signing for the Chiefs as just, not even just locker room guy himself. Like, Coach Reed can – Coach Reed will pay a couple guys to keep – keep that locker room cohesiveness together, and as much as depending on how much they play, but he is going to be a huge part, and I think a lot is like he makes Chris Jones better. Like, he's going to push Chris in ways that some of these other younger guys might not be able to, because they're worried about not having the experience or presence, but he will, and those two will have a field day this year.
Yeah. Sherm hit everything. I mean, Big Mike is a guy you want on your team. I mean, you see how much Chris loves him as a teammate and as a person. And when your star player loves somebody that much and you're playing the same position, and you get the best out of each other. I think that's what you want, and you want to keep that together as long as possible. You can't say enough good things about Big Mike, what he's done, where he's come from. I mean, he started, I think he went to JUCO and kind of worked his way through the NFL and didn't have a job halfway through last year and comes in and plays at that level in the Super Bowl and in the playoffs. And he's a big dude. I mean, you don't see big guys like that just walking around. I mean, he is, I don't know how much he weighs, and he's probably like 6'4", 380 pounds or something like that, but those guys don't come around, and it's hard to move those guys on the D-line. And when you get somebody that can just stand there and take up two guys, it's it makes the D-line's job a lot easier. So
it enjoys that.
Yeah. And
he's like, I'm good. If this is what I do, yep, I'm going to do it really good, and yep, I don't need to get to the quarterback.
Yep. And, yeah, he's awesome dude. Great guy that you want in your locker room to help lead with Chris. So, yeah, great signing. Very underrated player.
And just that clip of him just throwing Trent Williams around,
yep, dog,
in the Super Bowl. I mean, there ain't too many guys that can do that, and the beast Mike Pinnell is one of them. That was one of my favorite moments of the Super Bowl. We've got Garrick Dieter and the sausage Anthony Sherman in studio back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So what did I miss? Usually the most entertaining stuff happens in the commercial break. Nate, what did I miss back there?
Nothing. I guess you should know if you were here.
We almost beat up Lebo again. But
yeah, they called Lebo in here.
No, I called Lebo in. We're going down to the Thunder game tonight, so I was trying to get some fun spots for the kids.
Are you really?
Yeah.
You stopping by Stillwater?
Yeah. Garrick was nice enough to know a couple people down there to get us take a tour of their baseball facility and stuff like that.
I was telling him, Stephen, that our good buddy Tony Miola's son is the third baseman at Oklahoma State. Really good player, too. He's a slugger. So say hi to him.
Go Pokes.
Yeah.
Lebo told you to go to Brahms. You're like, I've already been to Brahms.
Yeah, there's Brahms in Springfield.
I'm a Brahms guy. I like Brahms.
No, don't get me wrong. It's good. I did, like, I thought he'd have, like, some, you know, hidden gem or something.
You want to go somewhere you haven't been.
Yeah, like, not a chain, you know, not a chain.
Maybe
like,
unique to Stillwater.
Eskimo Joe's.
Something like that. But, no, he had nothing for us. So then we almost beat him up, and then it was over.
Yeah, he doesn't like Stillwater, so.
No, he doesn't.
He was talking a lot of trash.
Right.
So what else do you want to know?
Huh? What do you want to tell me? talking to any people? You know, breaking news, some free agency, you know, tidbits you want to give us?
No, I was thinking we didn't talk about Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, but have your thoughts changed on that fight at all?
It's just, I mean, my man's almost 60 years old, you know, I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
He looks pretty good, though.
I think back to how bad he looked in the exhibition against Roy Jones, and he ain't going to look no better, and so I just, you know.
Did you hear the rumor that they're wearing headgears and 18-ounce gloves?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Who wants to watch that? I mean, people will because it's on Netflix and you don't have to, you know, buy pay-per-view for it. But
so if you have Netflix, you just get it?
Yeah. Yep.
What are your thoughts on pay-per-view?
My wife texted me when I was out of town this weekend and said, your son is begging me to buy the UFC pay-per-view fight. He says, really important. He really needs to watch it. And I said, well, does he want to pay for it? He didn't have the money for it. So my wife said, all right, I'll come up with a list of chores that you can do tomorrow to earn the money to pay for it. And he goes, no, I'm good.
You should have just
didn't want to watch it that bad.
You should have just made Garrick watch him a chicken and pickle.
Chicken and pickle, yeah, man. We had that place rock, and the whole rooftop was full.
Or we just teach him how to get it bootlegged.
Well, that was...
Oh, we don't talk about that.
Uncle Jake. That was his response. Uncle, he said to my wife, he said, well, I'll just find a bootleg somewhere.
Right,
and I said, the hell you will.
Next time the answer is go watch it with Uncle Jake.
Yeah. Or Uncle Dieter.
Uncle Gary.
Yeah. Uncle Gary.
Chicken and pickle, man. I'll babysit.
All right.
You probably didn't want to see the Twitter accounts that supply these.
Wow. Well, you just put it all out there, don't you?
He's not ashamed. He's not ashamed.
There's no shame in my game.
What did you think of the card overall, Gary Dieter?
It was good. It was pretty entertaining. I mean, obviously you want to see a knockout every fight, but I mean, there were some good, some nice moments. It's like anytime there's as many big names as there was on this card, it's like the fights always seem to go the distance, which It's fun to watch guys slug it out for a few rounds, but I'm a fan of entertainment, and I just want to see guys get knocked out.
Your dong
well,
lost.
Well, what did you think of Francis Ngannou getting knocked into next week?
He's got to think about his career. I mean, you don't want to take too many of those boxing. So I think he goes. I mean, I think his next fight is in the PFL. I think
yes.
Or Bellator, whatever it is.
He said PFL. Yeah.
So we'll see if that catches any traction. I don't think it will. Not too many people watch that. So I don't know. He's got an interesting path. He's got to figure out now. But I mean, he's got a decent amount of momentum and. I don't know. I don't know if he can sell fights by himself. That's the tough thing about the MMA stuff is it's hard to be a one-trick guy, and not too many people want to pay, especially pay-per-view stuff. Like we were just saying, there's just a lot of ways to get around that stuff these days.
What about a couple of has-beens in the UFC, Nate Diaz and
I saw that boxing.
They're gonna box.
Right.
I mean, like with Ngannou, I mean, you can't sell him as a boxer anymore. Mm-hmm. That was, and now... And that's kind of what I indicated when we talked about the fight against Tyson Fury. That was a lot about Tyson Fury. Did he train 15 minutes for that fight?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean, it, yeah.
He was so grossly out of shape and yep. just thought he was going to go in there and be able to do that without training. And he didn't respect his opponent
yep.
whatsoever. So
yeah, there's no question. And that's what I don't get about the MMA guys going into boxing. It's like, okay, it makes sense if you're fighting like a big-time boxer that can kind of sell it and you know you're going to lose, but you can kind of talk like the McGregor and Floyd stuff. But when it's two MMA guys, it's like nobody wants to see you guys box. Like, just go fight in the cage. Like, that's
right.
But can't they make a lot more money boxing?
No, nobody's going to buy that fight.
Like Ngannou made a lot of money fighting Fury and Joshua.
It's fine, the two biggest
I don't think those two guys are going to make money fighting each other.
No, it's when
I
you
mean,
can,
it may
like,
be
yeah,
not wrong.
Like,
I don't
you gotta
care.
Yeah, you gotta rely on the boxer to help you sell, and those guys' promotions are a lot bigger than all the MMA guys, and it's not too many of the boxers that can sell those fights. I mean, Francis was fighting literally the heavyweight champion of the world, and then one guy that's just as popular as the heavyweight champion, and these guys are going to go fight each other, and it's not going to do well for them, especially when you have to pay $50.
If you name the top three heavyweights in the world, he fought two of them.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, you're not
crazy.
Yeah, you're not going to get that. But there are some fun boxing fights happening over the next couple months that people should look forward to, at least. So we'll see what happens.
Oh yeah, it'll be fun to watch Usyk and Tyson Fury because he is training his ass off, mm-hmm. and he does. And so we'll see the best of Fury
yep.
and the best of Usyk. And I'm going to tell you this: that fight that Canelo signed for against Jaime Munguia, and he hasn't fought a fellow Mexican fighter in a long time. Munguia is just there to throw bombs, and that's going to be, as long as it lasts, a highly entertaining fight where many punches thrown and landed. And so that's going to be terrific. And that's going to be on May 4th on Cinco de Mayo weekend. And then you got Jake's real big on Ryan Garcia and his Twitter account.
That's
interesting. So Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney coming up. If Ryan Garcia can somehow make it to that fight after announcing yesterday that he knows who killed Tupac and can prove it on his account. So
I believe him.
Well, why wouldn't you? So we can move on from there. Okay, so we talked about wide receivers a little bit earlier. We have a question. Can we take a question from Twitter? Someone that actually wants to ask a decent question and not criticize you guys. You want to hear it?
Sure.
You accept it?
Okay. Yeah.
Justin wants to know if you think A.J. Dillon would be a good addition to the offense if the Chiefs are looking for a veteran running back. We've also brought up the idea that the Chiefs might be interested in taking a flyer on J.K. Dobbins trying to come in and have a one-year prove-it deal coming off of injury. Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jerick McKinnon both are free agents. What about A.J. Dillon or J.K. Dobbins?
No and no.
Wow.
A.J. Sure. Dillon averages like 3 yards a carry, no more, no less. Don't need him. And then I don't want any running back coming off injury. I don't want any player coming off injury, let alone a running back.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree.
would you draft a running back, or is there would you try to bring back Clyde or someone else? Like, how would you address? Because right now it's Pacheco and some young unproven guys.
I haven't looked at the. Are there any good free agents out there?
Kareem Hunt's out there.
Stop.
Kind of old.
I wouldn't be surprised if they don't sign Clyde back for.
No, he won't be
something
back.
Like that.
A.J. Dillon averages 4.1 yards a carry for his career, but he was only 3.4 yards per carry last year.
Only as good as your last year, Nate, especially running back.
Nate, he's told you that over and over again. You don't listen to him.
I'm sorry, what? He's only 25 years old.
And averaging 3.4? No, I don't want him.
Anyone else out there? Jake, I know you got your updated list.
I mean, the running back class is kind of picked over at this point. I mean, the guys that are out there, I mean, Cordell Patterson, someone like that, I don't know.
You can draft a late round
yes.
running back.
You want to know who would love Cordell Patterson?
That can,
who?
Dave Tobe.
Yeah, that's a dream.
Oh, dude, he would go crazy, crazy, crazy. I'm telling you, I don't think there's any player in the NFL that Tobe likes more than Cordell Patterson.
I don't hate that idea, to be honest with you.
He calls him crazy horse anytime any of the special teams film pops up.
No, I'm serious. The way he used to return kicks.
Oh, he's all, I mean, yeah.
He would run
Tobe would
hard.
I mean, he's really the only name on the list that has any interest for
end. Tobe's standing on the table for that one.
Tobe would be very excited about that.
You know what,
that.
Though?
Especially the new kickoff rule. I mean, if that passes.
Andy could find... I mean, he's a versatile player. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know, 5 or 6 gadget plays a game or something.
No, I honestly think he would fit pretty well. I think Tobe would utilize him on all 4 phases, and then obviously you're not the starting
crazy
running back,
horse.
So that's what he calls him because
awesome.
He runs like a crazy horse on kickoff return, and then he fixes a lot of holes. Honestly,
yeah. Tobe would lose his mind then, right?
Dude, he would go crazy.
Yeah, he would be all for that one.
That's all actually, right. Yeah, it's not a bad one. Other than that, I would just say get a young guy that you don't have to pay any money and come in and be, I mean, none of them are going to be the starting running back, so you don't need to overpay for anybody. Just find somebody that can catch passes.
How about a fullback?
Well, the guy on Twitter last week said that they, since Sherm left, the position literally went away, so you don't need it.
Well, okay, so listen to this. I wanted to run this past you guys. NFL football operations tweeted this out yesterday. The 2024 NFL club rules change proposals are in. The competition committee proposals will come next week. And so let me ask you if you guys would like this. The Eagles proposed, permit a team to maintain possession of the ball after a score by substituting one offensive play, 4th and 20 from the kicking team's 20-yard line, for an onside kickoff attempt. So instead of an onside kickoff attempt, you would have 4th and 20 from your own 20-yard line. Would you like that? That's what the Eagles proposed.
So do they have to score a touchdown?
No.
No.
From your own 20.
They got to get 20 yards.
This guy get first down.
And then they have their possession after that.
Then the ball is basically where the kickoff would have been.
At their own 20.
Yeah.
At your own 20, yeah. Your 4th and 20 at your own 20.
If they don't get it, do they get the ball at the 20?
Yeah, the other team gets the ball.
We're whatever they stop them.
Turnover on downs.
I'm into that. I hate the onside kick. It's impossible. Right. At least 4th and 20 will give you a chance either way.
Yeah, sure.
Next Especially time. The way they do kickoffs now. Yeah. It used to be somewhat possible.
Right, with having a running start. But, end of the game, I like to see you have a chance. And you know when the onside kick's coming. I mean, what are the odds? Like a 4% or 5% chance that you can get that ball? Get it out of here.
Less than that, really.
Jake, Nate, yes or no?
Yeah, I'm in.
I'll vote for
entertainment, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah, continue.
Okay, the Colts. Permit a coach or replay official inside of 2 minutes to challenge any foul that has been called.
No. No, that's going to be a cluster like it was last time they tried to do that with the pass interference.
Yeah, I think that puts a... Because you could technically call a penalty on every single play in the NFL, so you don't want to mess with that. Just let the refs ref, and if I'm slipping them a $100 bill before the game, you know why.
All right.
Jake?
No.
Anybody?
Me?
Hell to the no.
Okay. The Lions protect a club's ability to challenge a third ruling following one successful challenge.
What?
Like so
instead,
extra
of having, instead of having, you have to get two right to get the third.
Oh, so now you just have to get one right?
Is that correct, Stephen?
Yeah, sure.
Go one for one and then you get it back.
Yeah, I guess, sure. I don't know. Whatever.
No.
Okay, then I think the Eagles. Yeah.
We have too many. We review every freaking thing anymore. We review
the college basketball is bad.
Oh, it's terrible. But
the NFL is a little bit better.
But we still, all scoring plays are reviewed. Yeah. And everything, under 2 minutes is reviewed? If you can't use your three challenges and you still get all that other stuff, how many?
I think as long as
you
have
everything.
I like it, Nate. Get mad, Nate.
We just want to
bitch about everything in today's world. You're like, oh, challenge that. I got screwed by the refs.
Dude,
you know,
take it easy, bro. Holy,
play the game.
How many times did we do these proposals? Yeah, there's proposals. But how many times did we say, oh, they should challenge that spot?
I mean, if you have a timeout, I think you should be able to challenge. So if you have three timeouts, you should those will substitute for a challenge.
Okay, we're next one, Nate or Steven.
What?
Eagles eliminate the first touch spot after the receiving team possesses the ball.
Eliminate
the first touch.
Let me look this up here.
I don't even know what that really means.
Figure it out, Jake.
On punts.
So my guess would be on a punt, the first touch.
So then where are you supposed to get the ball?
Well, wherever it would die. Because sometimes you touch that ball, someone touches it early and
first
it bounces.
First touching is when a player of the kicking team touches a scrimmage kick in the field of play that is beyond the line of scrimmage before it has been touched by a player of the receiving team beyond the line. If the ball is first touched by a player of the kicking team, it remains in play.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So a block punt, a block field goal, something.
Or if you're receiving a punt and the other team touches the ball, you have free game and it's not going to be a fumble or anything.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's the same thing I was talking about. Yeah, we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
So they want to eliminate that?
No, I think that's a good rule.
Is that what they want to do? They want to eliminate that first?
Eliminate it.
No, that's a good rule.
That's a good rule. That's a good ball.
That's good. Yeah, no, that's fine.
All right. But we're all on board for the 4th-and-20 rule.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring that in.
Yeah, come on.
This might be off subject, but did you guys talk about the South Carolina LSU basketball game?
The fight?
The fight and then the brother jumping over. Did you see this, Sherm?
Oh, yeah.
He
was fat. He was quick. He was on that thing before she even got off the ground.
Buddy, what are you thinking?
But then he stood there and he saw that the gal was twice his size and kind of froze.
Yeah. Well, what are you even going to do, though?
I don't know.
You're going to go to jail. That's what you're going to do.
I was trying to protect his sister.
And then the other family, I'm like, why are you guys even?
Assault, brother.
Yeah, what are you even doing?
He got charged with that and disorderly conduct.
It's assault.
What did you think of Kim Mulkey saying that she shouldn't have pushed down the little person?
Kim sucks.
If you're a short person like me, you could go around and chicken wing people, and then nobody can do anything.
Talk about
you're little.
The biggest ego in maybe all of college sports, maybe all of sports, is that lady.
You like her outfits?
It's I don't get that in college. Why in women's basketball? Why is that a thing? They don't wear they don't wear their school. They dress up. It's you don't.
South Carolina, she had a jumpsuit.
I do miss college basketball coaches wearing suits.
No.
Yeah.
At least wear your logo if you're gonna.
I'm good with a little pullover jacket, the team logo.
You want to make it about yourself? No. Make it about the team.
I just said
Bob Huggins. I'm talking about eliminated the damn suits. I said, I'll just, I'm going to wear a quarter zip, and if you don't like it, screw
this
you.
One for,
and then everyone else said, okay. But if Huggins can be comfortable, we can be comfortable.
This one's
too.
For Nate. I love Peter Vermees in a suit on the sideline.
Soccer for sure.
He means business.
Yeah.
Soccer.
He means business. Assholes.
Soccer for sure.
Because Greg Berhalter's out there in a t-shirt.
Sloppy. Unprofessional.
Looks sloppy.
You guys, this is what I propose.
You want to see Coach Reed in a suit on the sideline?
No, this is what I want. Stupid. This is what I want.
I know he's going with this, and I'm 100% on board with Steven on this.
And I still don't understand why a baseball manager wears a uniform.
Yep.
So then why can't we have Big Red in full uniform with pads and a helmet?
I think you got some fat old man as a manager in baseball wearing stirrups and pants. Why can't we get
How
Bill
fired
up there in a tank top?
How fired up would you be to see Big Red and pads and a helmet and everything else calling plays?
No.
Right?
No. Tom Landry used to wear a suit.
I don't know why the baseball, guys do that. Like, why are they putting...
What else are they supposed to wear?
It's great. I love it. I want to see Peter Vermes and shin guards.
Yeah, yeah no.
Make the managers and the coaches dress in player attire.
Wouldn't you love to see Bob Huggins out there in a full West Virginia basketball uniform?
Either a three-piece suit or full uniform. That's your option.
Baseball managers are slowly turning into just hoodies, though. Pants and a hoodie.
What are the uniform? Gonna play?
It's like they're going to get put in the game at some point or something.
I love the uniform. Right. I'm all into it.
No chance.
No.
I wear the uniform when I'm at home watching.
Yeah. That's right.
That'd be great. I mean, like the whole view of Kelsey bumping Big Red. If Big Red had shoulder pads and helmet on, it would look different.
Turn into an Oklahoma drill right there on the sideline.
On every kickoff return, Dieter's over there ramming his head through the wall with his helmet on.
You got to be one with the team, boys. Yeah.
Your full Yankees uniform. Right?
I got my Creighton stuff ready for tonight.
How can anybody debate this topic? It should happen in every sport.
No. No.
No. That is awesome. You'll see Spags over there in the uniform running around.
Yeah, there'll be some funny coaches. Fraze would be hilarious in uniform.
No.
Porter.
No, I don't want to see it.
Basketball would be the best.
I agree.
Even in tank, you know, sleeveless tank top out there.
Yep. No, but back to Kim Mulkey. You can't say that as a college coach, what she said, so I'm not a fan.
I hate the fact that she's taking shots at Caitlin Clark for no reason.
Yeah. It's like, one, Caitlin Clark's the only reason anybody's watching women's college basketball right now. Like, look at her ratings. Look at, she's selling out every single stadium that she's in.
Yep.
And she's performing at that high level for, she's getting triple teamed every game, scoring 35 a game.
And dropping dimes, too. She's getting, like, 10 assists a game.
She's fun. Like, she's fun to watch. They haven't ever had that.
Yep.
Go Chiefs.
That's exactly right.
What else do you want to know?
Steven, be safe down there, right?
I'll try.
Hey, right. No breaks.
We're done. They're kicking us out.
We got 2 minutes.
Another great hour.
Is Jesse coming on next?
Yes.
Well, you better make sure the door's open because it's probably locked out like we were this morning.
Well, we have 10 minutes before it comes on.
Well,
now.
I'm just saying, we were locked out. Elevators don't work. Nothing works when you're not here. Steven.
See?
There's an owl in the tree out there.
All right. Back into this on WHB.